Yes, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, just for your children, Lord. And Father, thank you for the testimony, Lord. Thank you for Robert and Valpress' testimony this morning, Lord God, that all of us can know that you are a good God, Lord. Lord, that many times we go through things and we don't understand why are we going through this, Lord, but Lord, you do something in us and you come and shape us, Lord, and we become people that we don't understand later on, Lord. We've just become something new. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can surrender to you and the work that you're doing in our lives, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you for hearts that are being changed, Lord, because they come into your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to dedicate my sermon this morning and this evening to two people that I really love. And it's to Christo and Carmen, who's not here. Christo Viljoen and Carmen Kutsia, who's been working with me, and Yaku. I've seen them going through really tough times, and like all of us go through tough times, but it's always the pastor who's being prayed for, but many times the guys that are working for the church, there are not many people praying for them, and they suffer in silence. But when we surrender to God and the tough things that we're going through, that God's doing something very special. And this is why I just want you to listen to the song that Christo wrote that's on our CD. You can just close your eyes. we sometimes go through tough times and we go through seasons. And I truly believe that tough seasons shouldn't last forever. There's a period that we go through, but there's always an upside. The sun always comes out. There's maybe might be rain, but it will be followed by a good season or sunshine that comes after that. And, you know, when we go through tough times, you have a choice. Either you can say, Lord, I'm surrendering and shape me, or you can resist what God is doing. Because I believe God is not punishing us by making us go through tough times. All of us, whether you've served God or not, will go through tough times. It's just meant to be. We are going to go through tough times. That's part of the fallen human nature where we are. You are going to go through tough times at certain times. But when you go through the tough times, we can either surrender it and say, God, shape me, or we can resist that what God is doing in our lives. And, you know, maybe you might live in a country where you are being persecuted and it's really tough. And the world is, the evil in this world is increasing. But God just gave me this word in Isaiah 59 that says, when the enemy comes in with a flood, the Holy Spirit will raise a new standard. And I believe this is where we are. Many people are going through tough times because God is preparing the church for character, to have character, to surrender to who God is and not for our own will. So that when we reach out to people, they experience the love of God and not who's right and who's wrong, but they experience who Jesus is. You know, it's amazing to see some people are very, you know, they worry about who that man is. Is he from God or is he, I say, off? But when you go into Numzamu, then that doesn't matter anymore. Then it's all about Jesus. It's just about the love of Jesus. When you go and pray for that guy, Moose, who's been 16 years in the jail, then he doesn't care who Benny Hinn is. He just want to meet Jesus. Amen. Then it doesn't matter. And that's what Jesus had called us for. Then our doctrines and our theories, it doesn't mean anything. Then it's all about Jesus. And I really believe this is where God is bringing us to. He's raising a new standard. And the standard, when I preached on Joshua, the high priest, last week, and that Joshua was standing before God and the angel of the Lord, and I believe it's Jesus, is standing there as well, and Satan accusing him, and that Joshua believed his best clothes. He was standing in his best clothes, the priestly robe. But the father said, this is filthy garments to me. And he removes the garments and he gives him new garments. And then God says, I will send my Messiah to you that will remove the iniquities of the world in one day. And that's what Jesus came to do on the cross. He removed all our sins in one day. That when you accept Jesus at that moment, you know, as Brad and testified, and he said, God, I repent of my unbelief, Even if we're not faithful, if we don't have faith, God remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Even in that place, God still did this massive miracle because his heart is for people to know who Jesus is. But when we go through tough times, God is the potter, we are the clay. And we must allow him to form us in this beautiful pot. And that we mustn't resist him. And you know, I don't know if you've seen, when it moves like this, sometimes the clay goes off like that. And we many times do that. There's a lady that I really love her. But she had the opportunity. And when we prayed for her, even when the Holy Spirit came powerfully upon her, she would like resist it. And I think many of us, maybe all of us have done that at some stage. When God comes, we resist God. And we don't allow God to come and do this work in us where he wants to come and change us. Because I shared this, and I just want to welcome our friends from Makassa here. I don't know if you remember, we went to Makassa some time ago, and they came to visit us this morning. So what a privilege for me to have you here as well. It's an honor for me. But, you know, it was also one of those moments where God showed up, and many people, God just touched many people, massive miracles. But this one thing I will never forget in my life is this one girl. She gave a testimony. She didn't know her father. He was married to another woman. He made a mother got pregnant with him, and he didn't want anything to do with them. And she said it was bad seed sown into her life. And then when she was 16 years old, her stepfather, who was really abusive to the mother, and I think to her as well, shot the mother in the heart, and then he shot himself. And then she said she had to go to an orphanage, and when she came, she was wild and partied and do all the great things in life. And she said it was this bad seed that was sown that brought this bad harvest forth. And then she came to a place where she met her husband. He was a born-again Christian that came out of a drug rehab, and then he relapsed. And then he was back onto heroin again, and they lost everything because of what he had done. And then she gave her heart to the Lord, and she became a Christian. And someone discipled her very well and said, you must speak the word. You must take the word and believe the word of God and speak this word. And she said God came with a big plower, and he came to plow out this bad harvest that came to be in her life. And she said it was very painful for many years, but she kept on believing who God is and what God wanted to do in their lives. And she just spoke the word, and she would anoint their bed, and she would speak the word of God over her husband, over herself, and now her husband, I think it's 5 or 7 years, I can't remember, that he's been free from heroin. Her fourth child is on its way, or her fifth child, I can't remember. Was it the fourth child that was on its way? And her life has changed completely. Financially, God is blessing them, because she started and she took the word of God literally, and she started believing in the word of God, and she allowed God to shape her, as it says in Isaiah 63, that the Lord is our Father, and we must believe that God is good, that He loves us, that God's heart is for us, He's not against us. We must believe that there is an enemy and he wants to take us out when bad things happen to us. That we don't say, oh, God hates me, I'm a bad person because I'm a bad person. But God is a father, but we also like clay in his hand. And he's the potter and he wants to change us. We must believe, Romans 8 verse 28, that God says that all things that happen to us, whether it's from him or whether it's from the devil, he will make to turn out for our good. If we believe in Him, if we call to our purpose. So if you're sitting here and you're going through a bad thing, if you allow God, it will work out for the best for you, because God wants to use that thing to shape you. Irrespective if it's from the devil or it's your own fault or if it's from God, God will use that thing for you. And you just believe and say, God, I believe that you are good, that you are sovereign, that you are in control, that you love me, that we speak those words. So when you're going through trials, and maybe some of you, and many of you are going through trials, 1 Peter 1 says, in this you rejoice. In this you rejoice. Now what is rejoice? It's a funny move that Christy made behind the piano. That's rejoicing. Through now, for a little while, if necessary, have you been grieved by various trials. So when you go through various trials, it says rejoice in that. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes through it, it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we go through tough times, we can rejoice, we surrender to God, because He used this to test our faith and to make our faith solid, so that we can stand when the day of trouble comes, because this is more precious than gold. Because gold will, when the fire comes, it will melt away, but our faith will stand. And I must be honest with you, when I stood up yesterday, I knew, because I know God, I knew that the sun was going to shine. I had no doubt in my mind. I spoke the words because I know my God is. He can move mountains if I believe. He says, if I believe and I don't doubt, whatever I say, He will give to me. And I stood up like that. I just prayed for the guys to come into unity to have faith, but I knew what was going to happen, because God said to me, He wants to change people's lives. So I stood up and I said, God, come and do a work. Matthew 1:21, verse 21 said, Jesus answered them, if you have faith and you do not doubt, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. Whatever you ask in prayer, that's a bold statement, but Jesus said it. So if He said it, it must be true. James 1 says, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So when we go through faith, and I must be honest with you, last year, when I was going through faith with my kid, and later on, I didn't have the faith anymore. I didn't. But I hoped, and I believed that God is good, and I just believed in the love of God. But God tested my faith. And now, through all of that, I have the faith. And I must be honest with you, I pray not for little faith, I pray for big faith. I want to move mountains in the name of Jesus, because that is who our God is. When we go through suffering, we surrender, because we're going to reap huge benefit. And not for ourselves only, but for people around us as well. When you pray for that lady, and I remember Morris held her hand like this, and there's demons in her face, and she was so tormented by demons, and she was screaming at us. And the next moment, Jesus just came, and she set free. The power of God. It's because we love people, because Jesus loves us. He wants to set people free. Romans 5 verse 3 says, not only that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So when we go through suffering, rejoice in that, because God is building your character. God wants to raise up a new standard in church, in all the churches. He wants us to be different. He wants us to stand out as Christians, that people don't go, oh no, a Christian, but that the favor of man and God will be on our lives. Because I really believe God wants a broken and a contrite spirit. He wants a brokenness before Him, where we say, it's not about what I have achieved, about the car that I drive, or who my friends is, where I live, whether I live there or whether I live there. It's not important to God. It's God. Your character is important to God. That is what God wants. He says, He doesn't, in Psalm 51, verse 16, He does not delight in sacrifice, or He would give it. You would not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you do not despise. So you might think, I really believe that God wants us to be obedient to Him. But you might struggle to be obedient. I really believe God wants us to try and be obedient to Him. When we come to Him and say, God, I want to be obedient, but I can't. But we make the decision to say, God, I want to be obedient to You. Help me. Because God says in Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So God wants to take this hardened hearts that all of us have because of life. And we take shots and our hearts become hardened. But He says He wants to pour out our spirit upon us. He wants to take this heart of stone out, and He wants to give us a heart of flesh. He says, I will put My spirit within you and cause you to walk in My statutes and be careful to obey My rules. And you shall dwell in the land that I have gave to your fathers, and you shall be My people, and I will be your God. Now I want to ask you, why do you believe do we go through these tough times? Why do God wants us to be to build our character? Why do we have to go through these tough times for our character to be built? I really believe it's because God wants to build a kingdom of priests. Not priests and kings, but a kingdom of priests. In Revelation 1 verse 5, it says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by His blood. And He made us a kingdom priests to God and Father. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. So I really believe God hasn't called some to be in business and some to be in ministry. I really believe all of us are called to be priests. Amen. To God, to represent God on this earth. We are a kingdom of priests, holy and sanctified before God. So when we go through tough times, God is busy making us holy. He's sanctifying us so that when we represent Him, we represent Him as holiness. We don't come with sin in our hearts, because sin is destroying us. Sin will destroy all of us. You can ask me. Sin, this is very destructive. But God wants to form us. He's the potter. We are the clay. And He forms us as living stones. In 1 Peter 2, He says, you yourselves become living stones. You are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So God forms us to be living stones, the stones He used for us to become a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. So all of us, God wants to build us up as a holy priesthood so that we can bring spiritual sacrifices, holy spiritual sacrifices to God. And then He talks about Jesus, who's the cornerstone. And those who accept Him, honor will be for them, but then there are those who will not believe in Him. They will reject Him, and they will become, and to them, Jesus will become a stumbling block. Jesus will become the stumbling block, the rock of offense for those who do not believe. And He says they stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Because we disobey the word, we become offended with Jesus. When we obey in the word of God, and we become more and more like the Word says, we become like Jesus, we will not get offended. And we will achieve that what we have been destined to. Verse 9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we're not Afrikaners anymore. We're not English anymore. We're not Brits anymore. We're not Khoisas anymore. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own possession. We're not the things that you see on the outside. We have one blood. It comes from Noah. It actually comes right from the beginning. We have, when we become saved, we all became one. We are one chosen race before Jesus, a royal priesthood. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now you probably think, how on earth can I become a priest? And when I was in the in Gordon's Bay, in that pub, Amigos, and that Berghi guy came to me and he was drunker than I was. It wasn't even 12 o'clock and he was chastising me because he said, God has a calling on your life and look how drunk you are. You must stop drinking. But he was drunker than I was. How could a guy like that ever become a priest? But God says in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask, it will be done for you. So what if we abide in Jesus and we abide in the words of God, in the Bible, if we abide in those words, whatever we ask, what we can ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us. So we come to God and say, God, I want to know you more. I want to abide in you. And He makes us. And when we go through the tough times, we say, God, I rejoice in this. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going through this tough time, that you are forming me like clay because I want to become more like you. Form me, Lord. Shape me. Shape me to that what you want me to be, that I can be a priest, that I can represent you, the Almighty God that created heaven and earth in 6 days. In Hebrews, he talks that Jesus is the guarantor for a better covenant. The old covenant has passed. He's given us a new covenant. And this covenant, as it was prophesied, says, for this, the covenant that I made with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. This covenant is for everyone. It's for the Jews. It's for us Afrikaners. It's for the English. It's for everyone. But it's through Jesus. When we come to Jesus, He gives us this new covenant. Because He wants to, He says, I'll be merciful to your iniquities. And I will remember this sin no more. That is who Jesus is. That's what He's done. Our sin is past. When we repent, He put it to the past. Because that is who His heart. Hebrews 9 says, verse 13 says, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctified the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So I really just believe we can only become priests when we surrender to Jesus. When we surrender to Him and we say, Lord, I want to abide in You and I want to abide in Your words. And as we read the words, He starts changing our minds, our thoughts, and we become more and more like Him. And our faith gets built because He says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. As we spend time in prayer, time in the word, God starts changing us. And then when you need the sun to shine, you can say, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And God does it for us because we know the will of God. But, you know, if you start realizing, God wants me to be a priest, what is it that the priest did? Yes, they brought sacrifice to God, but this is something so special in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. The priests of David, or of Solomon, came together, and there was the, they came together out of the holy place, and they consecrated themselves to God without regard to their divisions. And all the Levitical singers came together with their sons and their kinsmen, and they were arrayed in fine linen. They were, the righteousness of God was upon them. And they came with cymbals and harps and lyres, how do you pronounce it? And guitars and all other musical instruments. And then the priest, 120 of them came, who were trumpeters. They came together. And it said, and the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make themselves heard in unison. It's in unity. All these priests came together in unity, in praise and thanksgiving. They came in unity, in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. So they came together in praise and thanksgiving in unity to the Lord. And when the song was raised with the trumpets and the cymbals and the other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. God's glory came on this house of God so powerfully that the ministers couldn't minister anymore because the Holy Spirit came to minister. But it started off with the priests and the singers and the people that had sanctified themselves before God. They came in unity and they praised God. And they brought thanksgiving to the Lord. And the presence of God came so powerfully on them that no one could minister. And this is the place where you have AIDS and God comes in and heals you. And you have cancer and Jesus heals you. And you have TB and He heals you. And you get delivered from demons. Because it's not people that's praying for you. This is the Spirit of God. The presence of God. God's holiness. There's no one gets the glory. It's not about me or whoever prays for Moors. No, it's about God that comes. And His presence come because the people were in unity and they brought praise and they brought thanksgiving to the Lord. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, we must not be anxious for anything. So when we go through tough times, we go through hard times and we say, why God, don't be anxious for anything. But in everything with prayer, and I just want to put praise there as well, and supplication with thanksgiving. So it's prayer and thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We come in prayer and we come in thanksgiving. And this is the key. It's like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. Thank you, Lord, that even my stepfather killed my mother, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are good to me, Lord. That you're doing a new thing in my life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that my children were sick, Lord, but now they're healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, I'm being persecuted, but Lord, I'm being grown. I'm being formed and my character is being built and I'm getting faith in the name of Jesus. And I now know, Lord, whatever I ask, because I've got a broken and a contrite heart. I don't care what people say about me. I just care about what you think of me, Jesus, because I've gone through the fire. Now, I want to finish off with this, and I think it covers you. I got so many confirmations for the sermon this morning, but Psalm 100 that you read yesterday, a psalm for giving thanks, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. So this is what God wants. He wants us to make a joyful noise. He wants us to dance behind the piano, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now look at this. Come into His presence with singing. Hallelujah. We come into the presence of God when we sing. There's something so special when we come to in His presence. That was where Joshua the high priest was. He came into the presence of God. And God took his filthy garments and He gave him new garments. In God's presence, that is where we get changed. That's where we get transformed when we enter the presence of God. This is a way to come into His presence. It's with singing. The NIV says, with joyful singing. So this is not, oh, yes, help my knee. This is, Lord, thank you, Jesus. It's a place where we come with joyful singing into the presence of Lord, of the Lord. And then we say, know that the Lord, He is good. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So we come in that presence where we know who God is and that He has made us. And then verse 4, very important. Enter the gates of His throne with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Hallelujah. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. So God wants thanksgiving. It's just at where the priest came with praise and thanksgiving. Now it says, if you want to come into my throne with thanksgiving, into my court with praise. So God wants us to thank Him. He wants us to praise Him, to say good things. Say, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. And then it says, give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. So I want to just finish off with this. If you're going through tough times, you have a choice. Either resist it, and the tough times will continue. Or you can surrender it. Say, God, shape me. You are the potter, I'm the clay. Do a new work in me. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Do a new work in me. Because God wants to use this. He wants to build your character. He wants you to have a broken and a contrite heart. So that you can come to a place where He shapes you to become priests. That we can become a kingdom of priests to represent God. That God wants to change us. And as He changes us and we come in unity, we bring praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. That the presence of God, the glory of God will fill the Lord's house. If it's cell, if it's church, wherever we are, the glory of God will fill this place and people will get healed. People will get changed in that place. People will be set free. Then we don't have to go from one person to one person, but every person. We don't even have to have F4 anymore because people will just get healed and delivered in the presence of God because we come in praise and thanksgiving in the unity before God. Agree with that? You can say amen.
Amen.
Can you stand, please? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, Lord. And Lord, that your heart is for us and it's not against us, Lord. That you are a good God, Lord. And Lord, that you make all things work out for the best, Lord, for those who are called according to your name and those who believe in you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that you say we must rejoice, Lord, when we go through various trials, Lord. Lord, that you say, Lord, that we must count it to joy when we meet various trials, Lord. Lord, that you say that we must rejoice in our sufferings, Lord. But we ask, Lord, how can I rejoice in my sufferings? And you say, God, that I want to form you because I'm the potter and you are the clay. Just surrender your life and your purposes to me because I want to change you. I want you to have a broken and a contrite heart. And not have the pride in your heart. Because I want to raise you up as a priest. As a kingdom of priests. To go and make difference in this world. To change this world. I have chosen you. I've predestined you from the beginning of the earth. I have foreknew you. But surrender to me. Surrender to the purposes. Don't hold on. Don't resist me. Because you are that. You will fall off that pot all the time. And you will never amount to anything. And you will continue in suffering for the rest of your life. You will never come to the joy of the Lord. Because you don't understand my purposes for you. Because I want you to become holy and sanctified before me. I want to use you as a living stone. To create a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. Because you are a royal priesthood. Because I want you to have great faith. That whatever you ask in my name in prayer, I will give that to you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus, Lord, that we can know that all our sin, all our iniquity was removed from us in one day, Lord. That it's not about the stuff that we do, Lord God, but it's just surrendering to you. Because if you abide in you and your words, Lord, once again you say, whatever we ask, it will be done for you. And you say, Lord God, that the Father is glorified, that we bear much fruit. And therefore we prove that we are your disciples because we bear much fruit. We prove that we are your disciples, Lord, say your word, because we bear much fruit. So if we don't surrender to your purposes, Lord, we will not bear the fruit because you come because you love us, Lord, because you want to be glorified through our lives. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you bring us into unity, Lord, that we can bring praise and thanksgiving, Lord, to you. In the name of Jesus, Lord. I know there are people here who do not know Jesus. And if I had oranges here, I would have asked you, how much are you prepared to pay for this? But I want to say to you this morning that Jesus said that the result of sin is death. Now, sin is the things that you do when you sleep with another man's wife or another woman's husband, or if they're not married but you are married, or if you're not married and you have sex with someone, that is sin. Or if you get drunk, or if you hate people, or there's something in your heart, there's unforgiveness in your heart, or maybe there's even hatred in your heart to your brother. Those things are called sin. And God wants to form you. He wants to take it away, because He says those things will cause you to die. But the free gift of Christ is eternal life. That He says that if you surrender to me, if you come and surrender to me, I will give you life and life in abundance. I will change you. And even though you go through tough times, I will form you, because I'm the potter and you are the clay. I am your Lord, but I'm also your Father. I know what is good for you. I know that when I discipline you because you're a son. And you not because you I hate you, but because you're a son. And what father wouldn't discipline his son or his daughter if he doesn't love them? So maybe you sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus, or you have completely gone astray and you want to surrender to Jesus. I want to pray for you this morning. If there's anyone like that that knows, I want to become a priest, that you just lift your hand and I can see who you are, that I can pray for you. If there's anyone that wants to recommit themselves to Jesus, thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? If you want to recommit yourself to Jesus this morning, and you want to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, is there anyone like that who wants to? Thank you, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I'm going to be asked those people who put up their hands to be bold and come forward, that we can pray for you. This is now very important that you do come forward, that we can pray for you. Please come forward. Then I want to... There are people, you are resisting the workings in your life. You're resisting, when you're going through tough times, you're resisting it. And you're saying, God, why me? Why are you doing this to me? And you're resisting the tough times that you're going through. And I want to say to you, you must rejoice in your tough times, because it's going to last if you do not. If there's anyone like that and you just want to bring that before God, you taking strain for a long time and you're resisting the working of God in your life, just come forward that we can pray for you. Is there anyone like that? You're resisting the working of God in your life. Don't stand now, because it's going to continue in your life. Because God wants to change you, wants to form you. He wants you to become the potter and the clay. And maybe there's someone that just knows that God is forming you at this moment, and you just need, He's shaping you. And you just need someone to pray with you, because it's sore. And I want to identify with you. It's painful. And Christy is going to identify with you. It's painful when we go through the fire. It's not fun. It's not fun when you go through it. And it's the toughest thing. We need grace. We need God's power to help us to come to a place where we can rejoice. So if you are going through the fire and you want someone to pray with you, I want to invite you just to come forward and we can pray with you. If there anyone want to respond, the time is now. Here, thank you that you getrou is, Here. Here, thank you that you getrou is, Here. Yes, Father, I just want to speak a blessing over every person here tonight, Lord, or this morning. Father, I speak your blessing upon them, Lord, that your countenance will be upon them, Father. Father, I pray, Lord God, for people with great faith, Lord, for priests, Lord, for a kingdom of praise, Lord, to represent you on this earth, Lord, and your presence on this earth, Lord, brought people to healing, to deliverance, Lord, to salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen.